I want to affectionately greet all of you and continue really where we all left off. This verse and its message to continue in our devotional practices and reframe the mishaps so that they become inspirations for our onward journey. This point from the Bhagavata seems to be so very important that Srila Prabhupada said this should be the guide for all devotees. A guide is someone who brings you from one place to another place, from the material world to the kingdom of God. And because it's so important, I wanted to tell you about one Brahmana, an unenlightened person, who applied the wisdom of this text to his full benefit and really changed his life and his perspective on his life in an amazing way. This can serve us as an example how we might do it, how we might apply this verse. And then I would like to end with a little meditative exercise. It is a contemplative exercise. It's better to say like this. So that you can maybe make an experiment right here of taking one thing, taking the perspective and wisdom on of the Bhagavatam to look upon it and then transform it into something wonderful. This is what I have in mind today, and I will start here. I will request, your good name is Kalindi Priya, isn't it? We will require you and perhaps it's good if you remain there so that when we go into the meditation thing, you don't need to move. Himself and didn't even give his close relatives any of the benefits of his large income, became so bad that his sons, daughters and wives turned against him. He was a real, how do you say in English, Mr. Scrooge or whatever, who screwed it up. His fortune changed when, due to his offenses towards his neighbors, his family, and all the people he cheated, the karmic reaction came. There was a drought, then there was hail, all his crops were destroyed. Thieves broke into his treasury and took all the wealth out. And his family took also part of it and ran away. Even the government turned against him and confiscated parts of his property. The Brahmana cried in pain. Many times he sat alone and cried, "Why did this happen to me? Everything went so well in my life." Then, as he was contemplating his situation, he developed what most probably every conditioned soul has, a strong sense of renunciation. He deeply reflected. An intelligent person will use his wealth, his use and his strength to gain perfection. But I have no intelligence. I just squandered all my wealth, my use and my strength as I pursued money. I was so much in illusion and thinking how it could be possible that he just lost all his wealth and lost all his reputation in society and was thrown onto the street as a beggar. How all this was possible? He said, "There must be someone behind this world, someone who controls it, who was not satisfied with me, and who bewildered me by his illusory potency." And as he thought further, he could see how his troubles were really a gift of Lord Krishna to him. He said, "Indeed, the Lord has brought me to this suffering condition, and he forced me to experience detachment, which is the boat which will henceforward carry me across the ocean of my material life." The old Brahmana fixed his mind in detachment. He prayed, "May the devatas like Indra be merciful to me and not present any obstacles on my path." He had faith that he could use the remainder of his life for attaining spiritual perfection, because he thought, didn't Maharaj Khatvanga in the past receive full God realization within less than a minute? So I will apply myself now. I have learned from my misery. I think Krishna personally detached me from this material life which I was leading. And so on. He went on his path. I think this has analogies to all of our lives. When we see we made a mistake, when we see that we spoiled another relationship, then we have a powerful mood of renunciation in our hearts. We think, "Let me leave this life behind." It's called smarsana vairagya, the detachment which you feel at the graveyard, when maybe the dearest person you were attached to or connected with left his body, and you are standing in the rain from Indra, and the rain of your tears, and you think this life is not worth further investments. So he was like this. But, like all of us, also also the Brahmana got tested. All uncultured people saw him now, the previous rich man in the dress of a beggar, and considered him an old, dirty reject of society. But he understood this is a test, and he surrendered more fully to Krishna's mercy. It's almost inconceivable what he had to go through. I think if you hear this, you will shake. I don't think Krishna will make any one of us go that road. But see, some of the people took away his sannyasi danda, some his water pot, which he used as his begging bowl. Once he had managed to beg a good sized meal, and he was just getting down to eat it, when an uncultured person urinated in his view on his food so that he couldn't take it. Some bound him up, others pulled him by the seeker and said, "Tie him up. See, this man is just a hypocrite and he wants to cheat using the garb now of a sadhu. This man wants to make a business of religion simply because he lost all his wealth and his family threw him out." And others, the Bhagavatam says, would pass foul air right in his face. Hare Krishna. However, the Brahmana remained steady in his duty and continued with his newfound spiritual life, even in the face of all these difficulties. And he sang one song, which is sung to you or given to you, the mantra, at the time you take formally the sannyas order of life. Your sannyas guru will then sing this song to you. Can I sing this song to all of you? Very moving. Etam sasaya paratmanishtam adyasitam bhuvatame mahachivi aham tarishyami duranta param tamo kundam grinishe vajaiva. Beautiful. Can you see? Can you hear? It's a very beautiful composition. This Brahmana sang with full determination. He sang his heart out to Krishna like you do during kirtan. I shall cross over the insurmountable ocean of nations by being firmly fixed in the service of the lotus feet of Krishna. This was approved by the previous acharyas who were fixed in firm devotion to the Lord Paramatma, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And he sang something else, something which I think is so enlightened and so good when all of you face your tests. He located where is actually our happiness and distress coming from. Is it coming from other people? Or is it coming from astrology, as astrology pandit would make us believe? There was astrology pandit yesterday. Is it maybe your karma? Or the movements of irreversible fortunes which come? Listen to what the opinion of the Brahmana is. It made it in the Bhagavatam, so it is true. These people are not the cause of my happiness and distress. those who stole his begging bowl or his vegan meals? No, he says, these people are not the cause of my happiness and distress. Neither are the demigods. Not even the soul, who is by its nature always happy and untouched by matter, the cause. My astrological chart is also not the cause of this suffering, nor is my karma or the movement of time responsible. The actual cause, which causes the spirit soul, who is transcendental to Maya, to experience suffering, is, I'm asking you, who is it? The mind. In one shot, you have it. The actual cause which causes the spirit soul who is transcendental to Maya to experience suffering at all is the false ego which becomes ruled and dictated by the mind. First, the ego makes you identify with the body, and then the mind tells you. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur elaborates on this. He says, there is simply no other cause. The nature of false ego is to create the bondage of material life. That the mind is alone the cause of suffering is the whole meaning of this whole section of verses. When the soul is covered by the bodily conception due to false ego, he forgets his purity and then gets quite philosophical. It's the mind alone which is the cause of suffering. You might ask yourself at this stage a question. I mean, he was really miserly, he was really bad, that he mistreated his own family. I mean, how can he make this switch from he suffers and then he turns to Krishna, singing a song which all people who renounce this world have started to sing after him. What was going on? From where did he get it? And Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur answers this. He said, previously in another life, the Brahmana had bhakti, which had been checked by the various obstacles. But when everything was taken away from him, this bhakti reappeared in his mind. My dear devotees, the Brahmana did not learn in his previous life as a bhakta, you know, means a devotee who had bhakti, that when obstacles present themselves, he should continue to serve Krishna. And therefore, he needed a stronger lesson to learn this. He needed to be reborn again and become a stingy Mr. Scrooge, Indian version, then needed to be corrected by the Lord. And this time he made sure he understood it properly. He didn't know what you know since this morning. I mean, I don't want to say it like this, but what you know, that you can reframe the obstacles which come on your path and see them as impetuses for your purification and your journey. You have the choice, actually, always. I want to be as faithful to the Bhagavatam as possible, therefore I read this. I want to give the summary. Nothing other than the bewilderment of the mind causes our happiness and distress, and only devotional service is capable of subduing the mind. My dear devotees, this teaching is so important that the Bhagavatam says that anyone who listens to or recites to others this life of this Avanti Brahmana
which presents scientific knowledge of the Absolute, and who thus meditate upon it with full attention, will never again be overwhelmed by the dualities of material happiness and distress. This is the blessing which is there. So, instead of revolting against Krishna's way of teaching his devotees, let us accept it with a deeper level of gratitude. I'm saying a deeper level of gratitude. We need to learn thank you on a deeper level. In Sanskrit you say for thank you, anugrihtosmi, this is your mercy upon me. Or you say anukampitosmi or danyosmi, I'm so fortunate. If you want to advance and use this verse in your for your benefit, you will require to learn to bring the power of gratitude even to your mishaps, and in this way transform them as powerful step into transform them into powerful stepping stones in your bhakti. His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj coined a phrase which I very much like to refer all of you to. I was very grateful when I heard it. It became something like something I operate in my own spiritual life. But he said, gratitude is the condition of the heart that facilitates spiritual growth. Isn't that a beautiful sentence? Gratitude is the condition of the heart that facilitates spiritual growth. Gratitude will always help you to transcend yourself, to go above and beyond. What a wonderful... above and beyond ourselves, by showing you the bigger picture in the life. What we constantly do in our lives is we become absorbed in the small picture of our life. But we need a bigger picture in our life. And I remember a nature walk which we did 2 weeks ago here with the teachers of the Avanti school retreat. It was really an experience for me. Akhandati Prabhu was our guide. He brought some of the teachers, it was an optional thing, down to the lake, and we wanted to circumambulate or walk around the lake, but it had rained for centuries before, and the path was first over flooded with water, and then it became very murky and muddy. So our teachers all dressed in teacher dress, you know, and not the right shoes, of course. You know, they thought it's a harmless nature walk. They went, and you know, once we were so much in the path, and we had, how do you walk when it's flooded? You just jump from island to island, little earth patches, and to go all this way back is too miserable, so you just continue on. One of the teacher, it was a really difficult path, one of the teacher lost his boots, they were stuck in the mud, and he made a quick jerk, and the shoe was remained back in the mud. I don't know if it's still there. Then we continued our walk and we came to this beautiful little tree house, I might call it. The trees were growing in this circle, and I was then delivering a small talk about learning from nature and how earth, water, wind can be our Shiksha Gurus. And then I turned to Akhandati Prabhu and said, could you please also say something? And you know how he is a very intelligent person. So all of us, I have something to say. Then he turned to all of us with his best smile and said, how did you like the nature walk? I mean, did you appreciate the lake? And you know, we have our very chaste swan couple there. They are together since so long. No divorce. And, how did you appreciate it? And all the teachers looked at him with this expression. How can you ask such a question? We only saw the road ahead of us, where we would jump next, or what else were in store. I mean, he had profusely excused himself. He really didn't plan that. Such things you can't plan, by the way. So we did not see anything. And Akhandati became very serious, and he said, isn't this how we are in life? We just look at the few steps before us and we lose the bigger picture. We cannot see it. Gratitude, my dear devotees, expands the tunnel vision to what's just now going on and captures you, and brings you to your original vision back, your the bigger picture of your life. It is a very powerful way of expanding the mind beyond the here and now into the bigger picture, and it has a positive feel to it, because gratitude is one of these feelings which, if you pursue them correctly, you pursue the gratitude feeling, which is like a path, you will for sure arrive at something like love or appreciation and so on. These good feelings which transform the angry heart or the frustrated heart. So, how do you practice gratitude? Well, you first have to acknowledge really the receipt of something which is of value. You have to acknowledge, this was good, this was valuable, this what came to me was very useful. For instance, you could be grateful for your health. This is a gift which is very good. You can be grateful for being alive. So-called old man, and I'm really very grateful that I'm alive. I have the chance to learn and grow and contribute and so on. You could be grateful for warmth. We just were with our film team in the freezing natural catastrophe of Wales. I was so grateful when I came in this warm hall. You can be grateful for anything which you received that was of value, blessings and so on. And in Japanese language, the word is a very interesting word they use. I have to read it. Itada kimasu. Itada kimasu. Do I sound a little Japanese? Or? It's quite authentic, I think. This word. It means, I humbly receive. That's very nice. Gratitude is cultivated by first acknowledging the receipt. You have to see it. You have to scan your life a little, focus in on something, and yes, this was given to me. And then the next is, if you want to grow with gratitude, you should express the gratitude to other people, to the Lord. You should do it mentally. You can think about it. I really think about it. You can do it verbally. Oh, thank you. Itadakimasu. Or physical. Maybe return a gift. You too can do service. This is some of the ways in which you can turn grateful. So instead of protesting about what Krishna gave us and sinking into the victim role, I want to repeat, instead of protesting and complaining about what came, and then falling into the victim role, you can see, first of all, if there was something, if this had some use, some value, something which is bringing you forth. And I would like to now lead all of us into a powerful transformative experience. I will do a few things with you to relax your mind, that you are willing and ready, and that things that you have an access to your to the wealth of information which is stored inside. I hope to bring you into your heart to you and Krishna. I will first try to bring you to a moment where you felt Krishna gave you an undeserved gift of His mercy, His sweet mercy. And then I will try to bring you into a moment where Krishna gave you His undeserved gift of the bitter mercy. In India they say the neem mercy. Neem is a leaf which tastes bitter. It's good as a blood purifier, by the way. So yes, are you ready? For this exercise, we cannot have any. Have to request you to put your mobile phones down. If you want, we can record it and make it available. Is your recording device working? No. I'm asking. This is working.
This one. This here.
Acha. I need to also see my just these are off the stage comments. So you are there, you will play me like softly. Do we have Carter players? Talented Carter players? No one will say I'm talented. You are ready? You cannot take part in the exercise because you will be our mixing board man. Your children. Could we maybe have one noise inspector? When you do anything in a Krishna conscious context, you have to be assured that might wrestle, boys might start to wrestle, or you know, or someone might have the idea to make a Harinam party. I have seen, we are very alive, you know, we are Krishnas. So there is one noise inspector, Yashomati. Yashomati Priya. You can maybe, if someone faints, you can put cool water. I'm joking, it will be harmless, but I wish to create a very good environment. So for you, no meditation, you're just viewing and you're the servant of the experience. Yes? Do you have a glass of water and anything for taking care of the. No, I have seen things, you know. Hare Krishna. Maybe I should do a YouTube video. I think it will have 10 million viewers. It's really so hilarious. No need. Okay.
to welcome you all for this experience, for a gratitude meditation. We want to access this powerful feeling which makes spiritual growth possible on a deeper level than we are accustomed in our day-to-day life. And we want to also transform those experiences which sometimes can become obstacles if they are not transformed into powerful learning tools on our spiritual growth. Therefore, I request you to enter this with the seriousness of your good heart. I will also at the end, we will sing one kirtan to Krishna. We use a melody which amongst kirtan leaders has become known as the gratitude melody. I will request you to turn to Krishna. So it will be about 15 minutes, not more. So please set this time aside now in your life and consciously and willingly enter it. It could really become something important for you. But I also request that, yes, please to respect the sanctity and serenity of this exercise. So let us not have to stay. Some of you will cough, by the way. That is not a problem. What happens is when you become relaxed, the tension which you have in order to suppress the natural emotion, natural feelings will come out. So usually, I don't know, soon you will cough, most, some of you will cough because you are a little tense. No, normal, normal. No problem, no harm, no harm. Just look a little around the room. But if maybe someone who feels a kapha, here's our very conscious and alert Yashomati. Take a glass next to you, then you can. Here are some heavy kapha. Krishna avatar is the master of kapha. No. Nimai would have coughed 1 year ago, but since he became slimmer, Krishna, it's two glasses. You have come here to the Narvasena mentorship retreat to really recharge your batteries, to get a new vision, get maybe spiritual insights which will help you to stay attuned and contribute even more. It is a sacred moment. I would like to now request you to sit tall. When you're ready, please close your eyes. And start to become mindful of your body. Relax your forehead and eyes. Bring your attention to your face and consciously relax it. To the shoulders, relax your arms and hands. Relax. your back, relax. Remain incredibly aware by putting your attention to your legs and relax. Your feet and toes, relax. Bring your attention now to your breath. When you inhale, your tummy will expand a little. As you exhale, it will sink a little towards the spine. Please do a few conscious, very deep breaths. There is one pranayama exercise which will take stress out of your mind and your body. Those who can do it, please do it. This is how it goes. You breathe in on the count of four. Hold the breath on the count of seven. And exhale on the count of eight. Inhale, hold, long exhale. Inhale, hold, long exhale. You may not need to count. Deep inhale, hold, deep exhale. Do a few more deep breaths. This Padmasena mentorship retreat, we have completed another year since the last retreat. I request you now to bring your attention to your heart, the heart space, and think about the highlights of that year. What happened when you received something like the undeserved mercy of Krishna? And how did it help you? Did you meet someone special? You have a meaningful conversation. Perhaps you observed something which happened to others. What were highlights? Perhaps you visited sacred India. Perhaps it was a friend who returned and said something inspiring. What were the highlights? What struck you? And in what way did it help? Explore a little.
let's review again the last year. Was there something which was striking you on the slightly difficult end? Maybe there was a misunderstanding. Maybe when there was a moment of stress, a feeling of failure, go also back to that moment. And if you found something, a challenge, reframe it. Simply ask yourself the question, what did Krishna show to me? What has he shown me? An area of improvement? Something to be more conscious about? And try to see that as a necessary part in your own spiritual growth. Bhaktivinoda Thakur said that he was equally grateful for the happiness and the distress, because both of it, the happiness and the distress, helps to remove the ignorance which covers us and separates us from Krishna.
Rama, Rama, Thank you. Thank you.
Devotion, chapter 10, under the heading Expecting the Lord's Mercy. There he says, this verse is the guideline for all devotees in Krishna consciousness. So, Nectar of Devotion, chapter 10, heading Expecting the Lord's Mercy. You will see how this offers you a powerful
way to reframe everything. Happiness and distress are the same things from the spiritual perspective. They're just material experiences. But they become reframed as powerful tools in your spiritual growth. Obviously, a very important aspect here is to bring gratitude into the picture. Hare Krishna. I thank you very much for participating in this exercise. I was very happy really to see something which I want to say. When I first came to Parnamasena, I was had been warned by my god brothers. You know, there will be a lot of modern things and hype and what's up and you know, and talk about sideburns and that is an English word and things like this. But I have really seen since already the last retreat that you have really grown into spiritual searchers. That's a great joy, and let me see, not just joy, it is you are putting your roots into the ground of Krishna consciousness, and that means the deeper we go, the higher we can grow. That's the rule, you know, the deeper you grow the roots, the higher you can go in your life. And I can really see this and want to congratulate you sincerely. My time is up, and I regret that I cannot take questions at this moment. I also would like to leave the experience like it is. Even if you felt, now this is very important for me to say in conclusion, you felt nothing. Only when the rhythm picked up, you felt some adrenaline coming. Even if you felt nothing, ask yourself, why can I not yet turn to Krishna? What is still keeping me in the inactive mode, the spiritually sleeping agent mode? What is it? And that is the lesson which was maybe the lesson which you needed to get from this exercise. Yes. And if you could see something like I can, you know, from here I can see in your faces, and faces are the index of what's going on inside. I could see that some of you have really connected with something essential. So good. But this needs to be done again and again, best every 14 days, Ekadasi times. This was an Ekadasi exercise. No, we go back, what was happening for me, the highlight, what was happening for me as some challenge, and both is equally good if you can identify it. It's an Ekadasi exercise. And today is Vijay Ekadasi. Lord Ram followed this Ekadasi religiously. And those who are into Ekadasi glories, they will say, therefore he won the battle of Lanka. Those who are pure devotees will say, he is the Supreme Lord. He anyways wins. But there are different perspectives. It's a Vijay Ekadasi. I hope that you did this exercise today. You will be victorious and will become heroes. And you are already heroes of Pandavasena because you went deep. Thank you very much. All the best for you, and Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.